talking that idiotic stuff you talk about, I would slap you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Black at the Ace of Spades, but 100% American.
Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. The Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show.
Unites in the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hollywood Update is coming up in the second hour today. We're here 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Heard around the world by everybody and their mama, and I do appreciate it. I have a biblical question. The biblical question for this week, can you change yourself? Can you change yourself? That's what I want to know. There is a, we just saw the another women's march this past weekend, and there's a lot of talk about sexual assault on college campuses. I have with me Vanessa Gregoriadis. Good morning. Thank you for being with me, Vanessa.
No problem.
I do appreciate it. Vanessa is a contributing editor at the New York Times Magazine and Vanity Fair. And I wanted to talk to you about the book, Blurred Line, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. Very, very, very interesting. So I want to get right into that. You say that sexual assault is rampant on college campuses. What is sexual assault?
Well, that's the big question, right? What is sexual assault? So I think what you're seeing in society today is a vast redefinition of this. But typically, we're talking about something where a guy is taking advantage of a girl who is extremely drunk to the point of catatonic, right? To the point of she went to a frat party, she got so drunk, she passed out on the futon downstairs. So we're talking about kind of a Steubenville style case, right? A woman who is passed out, it doesn't matter if you don't have intercourse with her. You just touch her at all. We call that sexual assault, right? And the criminal justice system, they call that sexual assault too.
And who came up with that? That's ridiculous. Who came up with that?
Well, I don't know if I think it's ridiculous, but I mean, I'm talking about passed out like she can't consent.
What do you
That's
mean if he
concept,
What do
right?
you mean if he touch her?
A touch her on her on oh. her genitalia
oh, okay.
or her breasts or something like
oh,
that.
I got
touch
you.
Her shoulder? No. Nobody cares. I'm just saying that, like, you know, in the broadening definition, we would include lots of things that aren't, like, forced intercourse with a gun, right? There are things that are just about the woman not consenting in a really vocal way. It's very confusing. I
yeah.
will be the first to admit that we are talking about redefining these terms right now.
Vanessa, who is there an organization of people who are sitting around in a conference room somewhere redefining sexual relationships between men and women?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
but,
who was
I mean,
coming
the
up with these terms?
Was the Obama administration, right? I mean, the Obama administration is the first. They were the ones who went in and said, you know what? We want to clean up this sexual assault problem on campus. And everybody said, that's great, because you know what? We know that there is a lot of sexual assault, narrowly defined, meaning girls who are passed out. That is really the one that I come back to, because that's really the one that's happening on college campus.
Now that
kids are just not experienced with drinking. But from there, they expanded that definition. Obama's administration definitely did that. And then they told the colleges it's our way or the highway.
Yeah.
And that happened in about 2011.
Now that we know how corrupt Barack Obama's administration was, do you trust them with anything?
No, see, I don't think they're corrupt. I like him, so I disagree with you there. But no, I think they were trying to do the right thing. I think it was an attempt, a utopian attempt at changing kind of sexual relations to make women feel more comfortable and do all these things that were good in terms of saying, you know what? A lot of stuff is not criminal. Right. But it is kind of immoral. Taking advantage of women the way some boys do is kind of immoral. And the boys themselves know it. And let's try to clean this up.
But what I'm hearing from
that's hard to do.
What I'm hearing from guys that I've heard over the last 27 years, especially those in universities and colleges around the country, is that these young girls have no morals and they are as bad as the guys are. They're going out getting drunk. They're getting high. And they're coming on to the guys. They're forcing these guys to have sex with them. And then once they overcome the drug or the alcohol, they realize, oh, I had sex last night. And they're just blaming these guys. But it's mostly...
Do you really believe that girls can force guys to have sex with them, though?
Yes.
That's the lie.
They don't, like, force them with a sense of power, but they seduce them. Or when they drop, they come on to the guy. They start making out with them. And then the guy goes along with it, and then the girl gets angry the morning after the night of, and she falsely accuses him.
Right. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people who believe that. Personally, I don't. But
why
there
not?
Are a
why
lot
don't
of people
you believe,
who believe that?
That?
Because I think when you look at the cases, I don't think they all hew to that narrative. Like, I think that there is rape. There is sexual assault. That's true. That's out there. Then the second thing is, I think that guys have to, what we're trying to say is, like, it's on the guys. The guys have to, no matter what the girl does, they have to be the bigger one in the situation and say, you know what? You can't even speak English, girl, right now. You are so drunk you can't speak English. I don't care if you're throwing yourself at me. My moral code says I don't have sex with a girl who's that out of her mind on drugs or alcohol.
And so girls don't have to be morally responsible for themselves at all. They can just do what they want and the guy got to control them. That doesn't make much sense to me at all.
You know, obviously there's a spectrum and there's an area in which, you know, things are rational. Sometimes girls are at fault. I'm not going to say that that's not true. But in a lot of cases, I think you would probably agree, the man is the one who is stronger, physically powerful, has the genitalia that's going to, you know, do something. The man is in control of the situation physically. So thereby, the man should have the moral backbone to say, you know what, I am in control of this vehicle of my body and I will use it for good things and not bad.
I do agree with you that men are mentally, physically, and emotionally stronger than women. But why is it that women are not, in today's world, women are not taught, either in their homes or in the educational system, to be mentally and emotionally strong as men? In the good old days, they were taught that. Why have they stopped teaching women to be that way? Because women seem to be very weak nowadays, especially liberal women.
I think, okay, first of all, women are going, they're getting better grades in high school than boys. Many colleges now are 60-40, more girls there than boys.
I know,
right?
But that's because, it's not because they are naturally doing it in the way men do. They have been, there are programs that are set aside and just put women there, like they do with the blacks. They put them there not because they earn it, but because they're not strong enough or intelligent enough to do it on their own. It's like an affirmative action program.
You don't really believe that.
Well, not all women.
Do you really believe that?
Mostly liberal women, like the ones we saw at the Women's March over the weekend, they're not intelligent enough to do it on their own. That's why they're constantly creating programs and complaining about men.
Okay, there's no science that backs up that women are less intelligent than men.
Well, why do they complain all the time? Why do they complain all the time then? People who are men and women who are intelligent and strong, you don't hear them complaining. You only hear the weak.
I think that, okay, I mean, I think that there are people who are protesting Trump's actions who don't like Trump, and if they want to get out in the streets and protest, that doesn't mean that they're not intelligent or something like that. I think you're right that women and minorities have gotten a little bit of a step up, but you know what? Not anymore. Women are not getting a step up.
That's
going
all.
Into
no, that's not true. That's
they
all
are
I ever
not.
Hear.
No. Women are, we're done with that. Women are now doing better in school than men. They're taking their studies more seriously. They are going to be more employable after college.
But only because of sympathy programs, not because they're earning it. They're not naturally earning it.
Emotional intelligence
is
going to turn out to be more useful in the corporate environment.
I totally disagree. I 100% disagree. Vanessa, how can people get your book?
You can go to Amazon and put in Blurred Lines and my name, Vanessa, and it should pop right up. Or, you know, it's in a lot of bookstores and libraries.
You indicate that nowadays more and more guys are into the idea of verbal consent. What does that mean?
Okay, so, you know, as opposed to just, like, grabbing the girl in the bar and taking her home and there's, like, not much verbal discussion, certainly when the sex starts, what a lot of the colleges are telling kids, and I will admit they are telling kids this, is get some verbal consent. Okay, let's make sure everybody's on board. So, hey, are you interested in going home with me? Hey, is it okay if I kiss you? Particularly in these workplace kind of sexual assault environments, right? The Weinstein situation that we've been seeing, Matt Lauer, blah, 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 blah. I do think it kind of makes sense. Before you move in to kiss your coworker and end up with a sexual harassment charge at your HR department, maybe you should just say, I've been feeling something for you. Can I kiss you? And, you know, if she says no, you're going to be really happy that you asked and you didn't get into some weird, sticky situation. So that's basically what people are talking about.
Well, in that case, the guy should put it in writing, right?
Not a bad idea.
Because if you have to go to that extreme to get with a girl, knowing that she can switch on you at any time, even if she said yes and she decided the next morning that, no, I didn't say that, how are you going to prove it? So the guys need to carry around some type of contract and they sign it that you agreed to that. That's so ridiculous to me. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really know what to tell you, but if that fear is that real, then you should be asking, because I don't think there are a lot of women who are going to lie the next day after they were asked. Like, after they're like, hey, are you okay if I kiss you? Yes, I'm excited to do that. Yes, I want to go home with you. Then the next day they say, oh, no, I never said that.
But they can get angry.
That's not going to happen. This actually works.
Most women are very emotional. And when women have sex with men, they become emotionally attached to that man. But to the average man, it's just sex, right? And they're ready to move on to the next woman. And now this girl or woman that he had sex with last night is emotionally attached. So down the road, a week later, a month later, or 20 years later, or 24 years later, she may still be emotionally attached to that man. And she can say, oh, he raped me 40 years ago because he moved on and she was emotionally attached. So it doesn't have to be true.
Okay, logically, think about this for a second. If you believe that women are emotional and will have this attachment, but you know that there's a way to kind of fix this, which is just asking the woman, putting it on her, letting her take the responsibility. Okay, yes, I said yes to this. really wouldn't go back on my word, because women are moral, and they'll say, I wouldn't go back on my word. I did tell that guy that night, I told him I did want to have sex with him. You know, even though I feel emotionally attached the next day or 24 years later, I would never say I didn't make that choice, because I did. I verbally made that choice. As a guy, wouldn't you want to take advantage of that?
Well, I would put it in writing. Did you say that women are moral?
Yeah, of course.
No, not true. Most young women,
human beings are moral.
No, that's not true. Most young girls today, from the age of, I would say, 50 down, and not all, of course, but most of them, especially liberal women, and we saw them at that rally this past weekend, the women's rally. Most young girls are not moral today. They are like out of control. And that's why one of the reasons these guys are getting in trouble, because they're dealing with immoral young girls, young women.
No, I don't think that's the case, but I think they have a different kind of morality. I mean, my argument in the book, and I know that this is not everybody's, not everybody agrees with this, is that women have kind of stopped looking at, oh, this is what I should wear to be demure, or this is the kind of music I should listen to. I shouldn't listen to rap music, or I shouldn't get really drunk because that means I'm a bad girl. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do all of that stuff.
That's what makes them immoral.
But I'm also going to have a moral core within which I say, I make the right decision.
No,
I'm in control.
That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Yeah. You can't do all those things and be a moral person, whether you're a man or a woman.
That's what guys do, though, over and over. Guys drink to excess. They listen to whatever music they want to listen to. They hang out with their friends. They talk crap about women all the time.
But that doesn't make them more guys.
You want to be like that, too.
That's where the problem is. Women think that men who are doing those things are moral men. They don't realize that those are weak, pathetic men who have no sense of self-control. And so now they're trying to imitate those guys, and they're losing control as well. That's not morality. What do you think of the slut walk? There was a big rally of women who were calling themselves sluts, and they were dressing like sluts and acting like sluts, and they're having sex with everybody like sluts.
Here's the part that you're not understanding. They are doing that because they feel that they have been slut-shamed or that they have... Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that rape exists? Do you agree that that's out there? Yeah.
I know for a fact that women are raping men. There are some women raping men, and there are some men raping women, yes. But it's not out of control, so, as you guys pretend.
Okay, so let's say that there's a rape. Okay, a rape that everybody agrees this is the definition of a rape. That woman then goes to the police. And what do the police say to her? The police may say to her, wait a second, what were you wearing? You were in that bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. You were drunk. How do you even really know you were raped? Maybe you raped him. There's no way for her to actually prove.
Those are good questions. Those are normal, good questions. You want to know both sides of the story. So those questions are great questions, so you can gather all the evidence from the man and the woman, and then you decide what happened.
Yeah, well, you know what? That it's not always used that way. It's not always used as great questions. Sometimes it's used as a way of blaming the woman and being like, look, you're a slut, so nobody could rape you. What's a big deal? So one more penis? Oh, my God, you've had so many. You know, like, that's where that anger comes from women.
We're running out of time. I want to ask you this quick question. I want to have you back because this is so good. should guys start?
I disagree, but, you know.
Let me ask.
I mean, you're a good conversationalist.
Thank you. Let me ask, should guys start reporting girls on these campuses the morning after the night of? Should they run and report the girls just in case the girls are going to report them?
No, they should not, because there's only like 5 girls reporting. When you actually look at the numbers of how many girls report across the entire country of 20 million college students, like 6,000 of them did last year. So it is such a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. Nobody is falsely accusing you of rape.
So
that
it's
is
not,
really, really
so
rare.
It's not an epidemic then on campuses.
I didn't say there's not an epidemic of sexual assault. I said there's not an epidemic of false accusations.
Vanessa, will you come back?
Yes, I'll come back.
I'll have you back. Thank you so much. That was fun.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. 888-7753-773. I like Vanessa's attitude about this. She's not like one of those angry, mad women about it. I like that. A quick reminder, tell everybody and their mama that Newsmax TV is now on cable and satellite broadcast around the world. AT&T, U-verse, channel 1220. Verizon Fios, channel 615 for HD and 115 for SD. DirecTV, 349. And Dish Network, channel 216. And don't forget, if they don't have any, let's say you have a friend who lives in Russia or who lives in Mommy Africa. Tell them they can go to NewsmaxTV.com, all right? Check out my shows and other great shows on this network. Everybody and their mama are tuning in. Also available on Amazon Fire TV for streaming devices. All right? Amazon Fire TV for streaming devices. Check out my nonprofit organization, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. For 27 years, we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Not one dime from the government. We tutor, we counsel, we show men of all races. But our primary focus is on the black man because his mother has nearly destroyed him from birth to the tomb. And so we're showing them how to forgive their mothers and return to their fathers. We work with all men. We have a home for young men. We help find jobs. We also have an entrepreneur academy where we're teaching them how to start a business from ages 15 and up. And it's because of you and the last 27 years we've been able to do this. Not one dime from the government. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com. Call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. All right. The media is feeding blacks the myth that police are killing unarmed blacks because of racism. And blacks are teaching this to their children. Here's the first soundbite. ABC Nightline workshops help parents have the talk with kids on what it means to be black in the U.S. This is so ridiculous. I advise you to sit down or lay down before we play this. It's so stupid. It's so evil. Why is this?
In recent times, it has been an unrelenting stream of stories.
Growing outrage over the deadly police shootings of two black men.
Police officer charged with opening fire and killing an unarmed former college football player.
Cell phone video seen around the world.
Black men, often unarmed, shot dead by police. It has drawn renewed attention to what has long been called the talk.
Here's an opportunity for you to engage, ask questions, ask the uncomfortable questions.
The need for a meaningful national discussion has inspired workshops like this one run by NOBLE, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement.
I'm concerned about the person losing their life because a cop said, I was afraid.
The goal? To have that conversation by allowing families to talk directly to law enforcement.
This can't be the norm. We have some major issues that are not being touched right now.
It's a centuries-old conversation, how one must navigate an often complicated color-conscious nation when you are black.
Amazing, huh? So, black people are at a point now that they need a national discussion about what to do when stopped by a police officer. That alone is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What happened to black people? This woman said, we have a major issue. The major issue is these boys and girls are coming from single-parent homes where the mothers are angry and they're setting their children up to be killed by cops because these are not innocent children who have been killed by cops. These blacks are not just tiptoeing through the tulips and all of a sudden a white cop comes up and kills you. These are thugs that's been raised by thuggish mothers and no good fathers. When I was growing up, I've never had a discussion about what to do when stopped by a cop. I already know what to do. Two black kids talk about, and this is so sad, they have set these boys up or these kids up to have fear of the cops instead of respecting and appreciating the protection that comes from the cops. Two black kids talk about how they feel about seeing blacks killed by police.
For 19-year-old Winston Harris, this is more than a TV episode. It is his life. He watched horrified as this Facebook Live video of Philando Castile being shot and killed by a Minnesota police officer.
Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone.
In Philando's face, Winston sees his own.
As each shot rang out, I could feel it. Not like actually, but like I could feel it. Like each time, like bang, 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 like I could just feel it.
Crosstown, his feelings echoed by another teenager, 16-year-old Ice Ferzner.
It hurts because my life just seems like it's nothing in the United States.
How sad is that? That's so pitiful. Isn't that pitiful? Those people are more likely to be killed by black thugs, gang members, than they are by a cop. And yet, they have been told this. This is evil. This has nothing to do with racism. Creating more victims. And this has been brought on by the NAACP, the Congressional Black Caucus, and the Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, and most black preachers. This has nothing to do with white folks, except liberal whites who feed into this as well. Amazing stuff, huh? So here's a couple more sound bites about the media feeding black people lies about the police brutality. And they use some of the worst examples that you can possibly think of. Philando, I mean, all these examples you're looking at, pitiful. But they need extremes so they can convince black people. And because most blacks, not all, because most black people are angry, it's easy to brainwash them. Did you know that? When you have the spirit of anger, you're easily brainwashed. It's easy to believe a lie because you're of your father, the devil. So this is from ABC Nightline. Reporter describes their situation, and a mother and the kids talk more.
We can't even go outside without having to be scared for our lives.
Both live in middle-class neighborhoods, the American dream palpable. Yeah. Tempered by this fact, their sons still live in a country where too often they will be judged by the color of their skin and not the content of their character.
What do I think of when raising a black child in America? At times, it could be frightening.
Like so many other black parents, Pat's made an effort to shield her son. Private, diverse school. But her best efforts don't make her son immune to reality.
Honestly, I'm a little scared. You know, it is unsettling.
Unsettling for Ice as well.
I am only 15 years old, and I fear that I'm possibly going to die before I even turn 18.
What is that? It's so pitiful. These people setting their children up like this. They say they live in a suburb, right? And where they're being judged by the color of the skin and not the character. You know what it is, America? Most black people judge white people, and they judge black people who have a more character. And so they're the one doing the judging of the color of white people and blaming white people. And so when you're in that fallen state, you think that others are judging you when it's really you doing the judging. White people really want blacks to go sit down and leave them alone and stop blaming them. Here's the final soundbite. One kid's father, pitiful, weak father, talk about feeling powerless. What man say, I feel powerless? That's not how men speak. And the mother is angry and blame America.
Who's next?
Ice's father, Michael, knows there's but so much he can control.
You're powerless. You feel like you cannot do anything about it.
For Ice to feel like his life isn't valued, that's your fault, America. That's your fault. It pisses me off.
Conversations many black families believe they must have that others don't, something she recalls discussing with a coworker.
The topic of, do you teach your kids how to talk to cops? The other manager, who was white, said, no, why would I have to talk to my kids about that? And I was like, Zach, why should I have to talk to my sons about that? The double standard in the United States sickens me. It really does.
Well, I wish that you knew how it felt to feel like your child is an endangered species, literally.
Amazing. Can you imagine being a wife and being children and having a father that weak and an angry mother like that? That's where the hell starts, in the homes. It's not with the cops. That father is weak and pathetic. A man should never, ever, 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 but never show that kind of weakness to his wife and children. To anyone, really, but especially his wife. He's sitting there with his head down talking about he feel powerless. That sound like Oprah. I'm just saying. It's not with the cops. It's in the home, folks. That's what's going on in the homes. And if anything, they should be afraid of the black gang members and the Mexican gang members. And they are. That's why they move out in the hood into the suburbs. Let me go to John, a first-time caller out. 888-77-JESSE, by the way. 888-77-5373. They're sending their kids up to be afraid of the cops when they have no reason at all to be afraid of the cops. What a sad way to live. John, out of Brooklyn, New York, thank you for calling. You on the air.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Just like a few minutes ago, you said something about some blanket indictment of the black man or black boys because the black mother did something wrong.
Yes.
You ever met my mother, Jesse Lee?
Have I met your mother?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. Why do you ask me a question like that?
Why would you disparage her like that?
I don't know. Do I know your mother?
Yeah, have you ever met her?
What's your mother's name?
I'm not telling you my mother's name. Obviously, you know her because you condemned her.
How did
I? You said the black boys, the black men, the mother raised. So you talking about my mother?
Did your mother do that to you?
My man, don't ask me no questions like that. I want to know why you disparage my mother. Like
I don't even understand the question. I don't know your mother. I didn't mention your mother's name.
You know my Jesse Lee. You ever heard that old axiom?
Maybe you're responding to me.
I'm responding to what you said. Run the tape back.
Most. And I
no,
say not
you didn't
all.
Say most. You clean that up later. Just
I say not all,
you
not,
know
all,
that
not all, not all, not all.
Easily but, disprovable.
Hold
no,
on,
you
John.
Said not all, not all, not all.
John,
later about something else.
Most black mothers are sending their children up
how many black
to fail
you know,
in life.
You say most. What's the percentage? Give me a percentage, Jesse Lee. 85%.
Okay, let me give you one. 70. According to the Washington Examiner. 77%. Calm down, John. 77. Hold on, John. 77% of black babies are born out of wedlock to black women who were born in America. That's a setup, John.
Let me ask you this, Jesse Lee. What was the sample size of that study? Was it a random study? You quote with statistics. Statistics are meaningless unless you know the degree of the study, unless you know what kind of procedure. You spout meaningless statistics, Jesse Lee. They're
John,
meaningless.
I literally don't care about all that
exactly
at all.
What exactly is the Washington Examiner?
What I care
I've
about...
I've never heard of that.
John, what I care about is I want black men and women to start doing it right. If you're going
to
have kids, get married.
Right?
If you're going
to
have kids, get married. Father and mother work together.
You claim to be a Christian, right?
Yes.
You claim to be a Christian, right?
Right.
So you want, let me ask you something, Jesse Lee. Let me ask you something. Abraham, Sarah. You know the story of Abraham and Sarah?
Who?
Abraham.
I got to go. Who is Abraham Salary? It's Hollywood Update. Keller's here. Hollywood swinging. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you?
Doing well. How are you?
So, is it a sunshiny day out there right now?
You know what? I heard it's supposed to be 70 today, so I think it will be.
Oh,
it's
cool.
A little early right now, so it's still chilly, but...
It was chilly this morning. It was amazing. So, the Women's March versus March for Life. I don't think a lot of people know that there was a March for Life happening the same day that the radical women had their march.
I believe it was the day before.
Oh,
you're absolutely right about that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the women's march was on Sunday or Saturday?
The women's march was on Saturday.
And then the Right for Life?
The March for Life was on Friday.
Really? Oh, okay. I thought it was both the same day. Go ahead.
So, you're completely right that the March for Life was not heavily covered in the news. So there's like the big three networks and the television networks, and combined these three networks devoted 2 minutes and 6 seconds to the 2018 March for Life. And of those, there's ABC, NBC, and CBS. CBS did not cover 1 second of the march. So those 2 minutes and 6 seconds were split between ABC and NBC. I'm getting these figures from LifeSite News. But then there's the women's march, right? And
yes,
we remember the first one last year where Ashley Judd proclaimed that she was a nasty woman. We saw Madonna saying, sometimes I want to blow up the White House and things like that. And this year was not much different. There were a lot of so-called A-list actresses that showed up, lots of them, different parts of the country. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to take a cue from your presentation of the march yesterday. You already played a good number of clips of what the actresses had to say, but just a cue of comparing what these marches represent and what these people are saying and the types of people who are attending these at the so-called grassroots level.
Okay.
So, for example, we have a clip from InfoWars. They hit the women's marches in a couple of different areas, but one of the reporters was at the New York City march, and he got into an exchange, a verbal exchange, with this guy who called himself a male anarchist, or an anarchist, he's a guy, and he was dressed all in black, you know, looked like Antifa, basically.
Right.
So we have a little bit of that exchange to give you a flavor for the people that are marching in these women's marches.
Here we go. This is from InfoWar, all right?
F*** you. F*** InfoWars. F*** your followers. F*** all you Zion pigs. F*** all you racist pigs. F*** all you pieces of shit.
You're sad.
F*** InfoWar. You're f***ing sad. Look at you. Look at you, you piece of shit. You're a f***ing fascist pig.
Wow.
So in case you can't see it, the guy totally spits on the reporter at the end.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the beauty of what's happening here with the Women March versus the Right to Life, you're showing the good versus the evil. It's like it's split right down the middle, and you have to be blind not to see it. You have to not want to see it.
And there are a lot of people that don't, by the way. They refuse to see the darker side of what's going
right
on here, unfortunately. We have another example also from InfoWars, but this one's at the LA Women's March, and we have some sound from a female sex worker. She calls herself a sex worker.
Hi, yes, Whore Power. We're out here representing sex workers and equal rights for them, because a lot of the time they're excluded from these. And our jobs are just as important and just as valid as everybody else's. So power to the whores, power to every woman, trans, cis, women of color. All of us are together out here.
So is being a whore empowering for women?
For some women it is, and for the ones that it is not, that's their decision. And for the ones that it is, we're so often vilified by society that we have to work just as hard as any other marginalized group to be recognized as having autonomy over our own body. And that's like super offensive to a lot of the people in society.
Whore power?
That is what she said.
That's worse than slut.
Without a flinch of shame. Right.
I'm telling you.
So this is what we have at these women's marches. And then there was the quote-unquote respect rally. It was called the Respect Rally, which is a women's march event in Park City, Utah. They're having the Sundance Film Festival right now.
Right.
So there are a good number of women and celebrities over there for that. But we have... your favorite attorney, Gloria Allred.
Oh my God!
she gave a speech at this rally, and we have a little bit of sound from that.
We demand the right to control our bodies and our lives.
Wow.
Resist.
Oh.
Insist.
Insist.
Persist. persist.
Persist.
Elect.
Elect.
We demand the right to choose legal, safe, and affordable abortions and not have our lives placed at risk by illegal, unsafe abortions, which cause many of us to be mutilated and die, like I almost died when Roe v. Wade was not yet the law and abortions were illegal. Resist!
Resist.
Insist!
Insist.
Persist.
Persist!
Elect!
That's from Democracy Now! Gloria Allred had an abortion?
That's what she's implying. yeah, but you really, I think that in that clip you really see what the Women's March is about.
Yes.
It really is diametrically opposed to the March for Life. It's we want our abortion rights.
That's amazing. She's so fake. And she had a daughter who was an attorney, and her daughter seemed to be as bad as her mother is.
Lisa Bloom.
Yeah, Lisa Bloom.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what Gloria was like in her younger days.
Right.
Maybe she was always had this demeanor. Probably she did as a lawyer. But there's just no, like, life. There's not even, I don't even see, like, the emotion that these actresses were dredging up. Granted, it's their job to do that. But it's just kind of empty. And she repeated that refrain throughout. Resist, do this, da, 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 over, like, 5 minutes.
It looked pretty cold there, too. It was snowing
Park
hard.
City, Utah. It's wintertime.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Doesn't look too cozy.
And this next one is from the White House?
Right. So as a comparison, we have President Trump, who actually addressed the March for Life participants and the pro-life leaders at the White House. And these are the people who marched.
This is the first time, I think ever, but for sure, a sitting president has spoken to the March for Life rally.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that something?
That's great.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
The first time. This man is the great white hope and making America great again. So here's President Trump. He addresses March for Life participants and pro-life leaders.
That hope is the true gift of this incredible movement that brings us together today. It is the gift of friendship, the gift of mentorship, and the gift of encouragement, love, and support. Those are beautiful words, and those are beautiful gifts. And most importantly of all, and it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Wow. I'm lost for words. That was so nice.
And the setting's great. Yeah. And just compare that with the guy who called himself an anarchist who's spitting at the camera.
Now this president is demonstrating, and the people standing with him demonstrating good, and those other people demonstrating evil.
That's right. But it just really is amazing. Like you're saying, it's revealing who's on which side.
Yes.
Honestly, there's so many singers and actresses that came out for this Women's March. It's ridiculous. We have a couple of Instagram posts. One is from Adele, an image of her Instagram post. She gathered with Cameron Diaz and Jennifer Lawrence, and these are just three of the biggest young female stars today. And she wrote a post two or three days ago saying that she supports the march, and the most influential people in her life has always been women, and just kind of goes on and on, the time is now, that kind of a thing. Time's
amazing.
Up.
That's too bad Adele is doing this. I like her singing.
Right. And a lot of these people are very talented
right.
at what they do, bring you a lot of entertainment.
They
you feel
really
like you know
do.
Them. Yeah, they're
I
great at what they do.
I wish that they would keep their politics to themselves and just entertain us, because you're right, there's some very good men and women who are good at what they do.
And then people do get to like them, they get to follow them,
yep.
and they influence the culture. So that's why we need to talk about these things. We have also an Instagram post from the comedian Amy Schumer, and she gathered at the march as well, had a bunch of pictures with young girls. And
Which one is Amy?
She's on the far left there.
Oh, okay. With the glasses?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then that's Amber Tamblyn. She's an actress in the middle. She's been really vocal about, like, the Me Too Time's Up thing on Twitter.
Amazing.
Involving herself a lot. So these are just things we need to talk about, because a lot of, you know, I know there are tons of teenage girls on social media just looking up to these women, and they're going to take their words as gospel, especially when their parents are kind of like in the background or not really doing their job.
Yeah.
So it is really influencing people. And
it is.
It's important to talk about it.
Amazing stuff, Kelly. Great reporting.
Thank you.
You are something else. Making America great again. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks.
Two quick things. The Democrats folded on the shutdown of the government, and they had to go along with the Republicans. For the first time in my life, I've not seen Democrats fold when it comes to the Republicans. Isn't that something? Because the Republican representatives are so cowardly, afraid of the media, afraid of the Democrats, and in most cases, agree with the Democrats. But the Democrats, under the Great White Hope, with the Great White Hope in charge, folded, and now the president signed at least a 10-day funding bill for the government, so the government is back in operation again. Congratulations, Mr. President. And then the other thing, I'm looking at this, illegal alien Uber driver charged with four rapes in California. Illegal Uber driver charged with four rapes in California. That's according to Drudge. And we're going to have that coming up for you as we move forward this morning. And don't forget that California is a sanctuary state. So I hope the parents of these or relatives of these people who was raped by this illegal alien, allegedly raped by this illegal alien, sue the government of California. Do something. I hope the attorney general arrest these people in California who have created a sanctuary state for illegal aliens. Let me go out to Illinois and talk to a first-time caller, Dave. Dave, thanks for calling and thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's my name, Daniel Phillips.
Hi, Dave Phillips. How are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
And just to let you know, I've never heard of you in, like, I've been listening to you for 5 months now, and I never heard of Jesse Lee Peterson. But once I was browsing, and then I don't know what came across me, I got a hold of you, and then I've been listening to you ever since. And I just want to let you know, you definitely been a big inspiration in my life, because I wasn't never headed, I never thought I'd be headed down this path listening to someone like this. But everything makes so much sense you say, and I'm younger, and, you know, I wasn't never into these type of things and politics and what's going on in our society. But you definitely woke me clean up, and I never thought that, because I did a lot of things, and I've been through a lot of things as a young man growing up in Chicago. And then once I'm listening to you, I don't know what happened, but I know you my motivation that I listen to every day and all the time. And I just want to say that I'm happy that you're doing what you're doing, because you definitely reached out to me, and that's what I really wanted to say, you know.
How old are you, Dave?
My name's Daniel, and I'm 33.
Oh, Daniel. Oh, okay. You're 33.
Yeah.
And so how have you been helped? In what way?
Well, I've been helped because I've been listening to you, and you were saying that you should go down the right path by apologizing to your father for doing the things that he have done. And I was thinking, like, man, I don't know how to apologize to this evil man, because he's an evil man. And he just never, he's not apologetic at all. He just, he's real evil. So I'm like, how can I come to him? But, you know, once you said that, well, just tell him that you apologize for what he done to you. Even if he don't apologize, you will feel free and better in things. And you was talking about how to leave anger and avoid it from being happy, love over anger. And I've been working on it slowly but surely, and I can see myself changing just by the words that you said.
Wow, man. God bless you.
Yeah, for real. Honestly, it's good. It's good that I know you just by your YouTube and all your channels. I'm subscribed on everything you got going. You know, like I said, I'm from the city of Chicago, you know, all my life, and you know what it is on the south side.
Yes, yes. So I just want to just repeat that, too, because when you go to your father and your mother, they don't have to admit they have done anything to you. They don't have to admit that they were wrong. You apologize for being angry at them for what they did, because it's that anger that's causing you to be so miserable within yourself.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. I'd be full of anger for no reason. I just wake up all through the whole day just mad for people for no reason. Yep. And I don't know why I'm mad, but I'd be looking for, like you said, seeking your father's love.
Yes.
And my father, he's 73 years old. He in good health and everything, but he's just an evil man. He don't care about his siblings to a certain extent. He just don't care. You know, he come around the house. We live in separate houses, but he comes around so much often throughout our whole life. He was never in the household with us, but he's the type of father that always been around, but not just physically there. But what I'm saying is he'll come around and just like I'm invisible. He don't speak. He's just a disrespectful older guy, but I don't just blame him. I blame myself, too. That's why I say you're absolutely right, just apologizing to him and everything.
Yeah, just apologize for being angry at him. You know, the way you feel, Danny, with all that anger and you feel unloved, and it seemed before now it seemed as though you can never get out of that. You're mad about nothing. Well, your father feel the same way. Because his father and mother did to him what happened to you. He didn't have a father that he loved. His mother was angry and out of control, and he's mad at them. And so it's not that he doesn't love you. It's just as you can't help yourself, he cannot help himself. You become like him, right? Because you become like whomever you're angry at.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so I want you to know it's not that he doesn't love you. He just can't do it better because he doesn't know what you know now that he needs to stop being angry so he can feel better. He does love you. He just cannot help himself.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, too. Honestly, it do.
Yeah, and what most adult kids and young kids don't realize is that their parents are only passing on to you what was passed on to them by their parents. And it just goes down from generation to generation. And so he does love you. He just can't help it.
Okay, that's good to know.
And how are things with your mother?
Things with my mother, she much is on his side than anything. But she, like you said, she loves to death. And I know my mother, she'd do anything for head over heels. But she more on his side.
And when you say on his side, what do you mean?
Well, it's like... It's her and him, and she put him first over anything. But they wasn't ever married, but they've been together for 40-plus years.
Right.
And he had his own wife on the side, and my mother knew that all her life, but she stuck with him for 40-plus years, and it's like they have a bond, and she ain't going to go aside. She ain't going to go against him for nothing, but she just, like, play both sides of the fence with her kids, and him at the same time.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Have you gone to your mother and apologized for being angry at her for what she did to you too?
I haven't did that yet with my mother.
Will you do it?
Yeah, I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it, Daniel. Then you have a seat. You know the freedom that you're starting to feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
It get better and better. Once you forgive them, and don't ask them to forgive you. You forgive them. And then God will forgive you. You have not seen anything, man. It get better and better and better and better. And you'll look around one day and you can't believe your life.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Seriously, I'm happy about even hearing you telling me this.